You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Wednesday, so it's time for Wayne on Wednesday with Wayne McCurry, Portfolio Manager at FNB Wealth and Investment in Johannesburg. Wayne, it's very, very quiet, quite naturally on the JSE Securities Exchange, because for many people it is a long weekend starting more or less now, actually. Some people obviously will have to work on Friday and Saturday and everything, but the point is that it is a long weekend. Corporate announcements have been thin on the ground. So what we should look at is maybe have a look at the banks, Wayne, because banks have been noisy overseas. UBS came out with a terrible set of results. First Republic share price fell 20% on Monday and then halved again on Tuesday. There has been some recovery today because of one bank saying that its deposits are absolutely fine. But has it affected South African banks?
No, not at all. I mean, our banks haven't been spectacular performers, but no one's been, there's been no problem. Capitec has come off a little bit, but that's been coming off for a while. But that was just sheer valuation of shares. Now, the reason why it's very different, why it's worse in the US, is the interest rates that they've seen over the last 3 years and the rate of increase they haven't seen for 40 years. You know, and the banks didn't hedge their books properly and they're showing trading losses. I mean, look at Silicon Valley Bank. They didn't hedge their interest rate risk.
No, it was badly managed.
You know, they took an absolute, but I mean, no one did it because it wasn't even in your wildest imagination that you got to hedge interest rates, that inflation would go to 7, 8, 9% and the long bonds would go to 4, 5%. I mean, beforehand, the long bonds were trading at 0.7. You know, so no one hedged. So they are in a worse situation. That's the first part. The second part is you're an American consumer with debt. You're used to paying 2%, not 7%. Yes. So they're going to have bad debts. Now, I know, which I find very odd as to why it's not the case in South Africa. I know that overseas, most interest rates are fixed for a time period. So, like my daughter and her husband, they bought an apartment in London, and they bought it a couple of years ago. So they got very low interest rates, but their renewal comes up middle of next year, and they were telling me if interest rates stay the same by the middle of next year, their bond installment will go up threefold, not 30%, threefold.
Which is a shock to many people, Wayne. Again, you get into this comfort zone and you think, oh, my goodness me, this is the new normal. The interest rates are going to be low for the rest of our lives. Inflation will be low for the rest of our lives. Everyone thought that. And suddenly, boom, along comes 2022 and 2023.
Yeah. And, of course, the mere fact that it's that abnormal means it will unwind quickly, because what we're seeing now is abnormal. No one must take this as being the norm. Same as 0% inflation wasn't the norm either. But, you know, 10% inflation in the UK is not the norm. 2% is, or 3%, whatever the number is. So that will unwind very, very quickly.
It will unwind, and you know.
And I still maintain that.
You know, the interesting thing is, because your name always pops into my head when I'm thinking about inflation. I was talking to our mate Shapiro yesterday, and he mentioned the lithium as a commodity. And I looked up the lithium price on a website that I favour, which has every single traded commodity in the world. It's absolutely fantastic. And I put up the whole list, and I was looking at it, and it gives you daily, weekly, monthly, and year-on-year percentage moves. And if inflation doesn't come down in the next 6 months, then I'm a Dutchman, because the whole screen for the longer-term durations that I just mentioned, completely red almost across the board. Yeah. Okay, potatoes are up 71%.
And food inflation.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, not just food, not just lithium, which I think is down something like 38% in the last month. It's base metals as well. I mean, it's huge. Inflation's going to collapse.
All of that, I think so as well, by the way. All of that takes time to feed into CPI. The oil price is a direct feed. Okay, so we know that. But the other stuff, food and that, takes a while. And services takes a while to moderate. You know, as soon as people start losing jobs and there's not good employment, then services inflation comes down. Because when you look at, like in South Africa, you look at our latest inflation number I forget if it was 6.1 or
7.1. 7.1%
like
versus the previous month, 7%. Yeah. So it's edging up a little bit.
Yeah. And it's all fuel and petrol and food and non-alcoholic beverages.
Yes.
That's it. That's our inflation. The other stuff was either more or less in the target range or below. And in fact, what was I found interesting was that communication, cell phones essentially, zero inflation. I found that very interesting.
Well, I think lithium has got something to do with that, with the manufacture of them. Maybe that's an obscure analysis, actually. I just think that there's so much competition, and the fact that demand has now fallen. People are hanging onto their phones a little bit longer than they used to, so prices are being cut. I mean, I know I haven't renewed my phone for 3 years or so, and the one before that was 5 years, so yes. Okay, so we agree inflation's coming down.
I think inflation's going to plummet.
Yes, me too.
And interest rates will also come down. They'll never go back to the COVID levels or pre-COVID levels in the US.
Quite right, too.
They will come down quite significantly from this level, and that's what the equity market is relying on.
Right.
And if that's right, we'll still have a half decent equity run.
Well, this is interesting because we are mid-range, and when I say we are mid-range, what I'm saying is the S&P 500 is mid-range at the moment. I use that as the sort of benchmark. So. I would like to point out something that one of the major fund managers in South Africa, one of the biggest, has recently said it's increasing its overseas exposure because although South African valuations are attractive, various other reasons means that they will not be investing in South African stocks as aggressively as they might. And I think they're talking about political instability, crime, and Eskom. So they're going overseas, and they don't take these decisions lightly. This is not a small fund manager that just shifts money around every 6 months or so. This is a big, big one. What do you make of that?
Over time, they are correct. Okay. You have got to have a well-diversified portfolio. Doesn't mean you can't buy the JSE. The JSE is 70% global. No, or even 80% global. In South African shares really boil down to the banks and the retailers and the property ones, but that's quite small. So there's South Africa, and even the property ones have got 30%, 40% of their assets overseas nowadays. So, are they right over time? Yes. However, in my view, they're making a very serious mistake about their timing, taking money overseas at this level. Because if I'm right about economic growth and commodity supply, et cetera, over the next 3 years, we are going to have a strong commodity run, and that is always good for the rand. Now, just on political instability and crime, and first of all, overseas investors don't worry about crime. That doesn't concern them in the slightest. They don't live here. It doesn't worry them. All the other factors are not new. It's not as though it's happened this week. Now, they've been here for a long time, and you can make a very strong argument that actually things are better than what they were 6 years ago or ever many years ago in President Zuma. So things aren't what we want them to be, but I would think that it probably stopped deteriorating, I suppose you could say. So, but let's put all of that politics aside.
Yes.
I once did a very comprehensive study, quite recently, and I've done it many times, a very comprehensive study about what drives the rand. And of course, people will vehemently disagree with me, but from what I could ascertain was that it's driven by the inflation differentials, which always used to be 4%. Now it's actually the other way around. It's minus 2, okay? Because our inflation is lower than our trading partner's inflation.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so driven by that and driven by the commodity cycle. That, over the longer term, accounts for 90% of what the rand does. So, in other words, the rand is a commodity play. When the rand collapses, it's collapsing because you're in the down cycle of commodities. If the rand is strong, it's going up because you're in the up cycle of commodities. Then so I took, what I did was statistically took the inflation differentials out of the rand value and then took the commodity cycle out of the rand value. It's all, I mean, the statistics, as you know, well, where you can talk about statistics. And then I was left with what I termed noise. Things that aren't driven by inflation and the commodity cycle. And that coincides very well with Desmond being fired, with Zuma, with Ramaphosa, with President Ramaphosa being appointed. It ties very well up with COVID. It ties very well up with the end of the Chinese cycle. So in other words, the noise, which is mainly South African and mainly ourselves shooting ourselves in the foot, is actually not enduring. It causes a shorter-term spike either up or down, but eventually just disappears out of the system. So in other words, don't invest out of South Africa now because you don't like South Africa and you don't like Eskom. Invest out of South Africa now because you think the commodity cycle is going down. Not because of what's happening here, because truly over the longer term, that's what drives the rand. Now, I'm positive on the commodity cycle. So if I'm right and the rand goes to pick a number 15 against the dollar, then we'll be taking lots of money overseas.
Okay, so you wait. So you wait for the lots commodity cycle to start running its course.
We are a commodity play. Now you can look at. I mean, you're talking now early on about the commodity cycle. We're in a down cycle. Of course, the rand is going to be weak, and people will interpret that the rand's weak because of Eskom and crime and all the ailments we know about South Africa. It's not weak because of that. They happen when the rand's strong or weak. They happen. They've been happening for donkey's years already. You know, so we've had terrible governance in South Africa and crime and corruption and everything in the upcycle and the downcycle of the rand. I mean, the last time the rand strengthened, it went to 1350 after Desmond was fired. Nothing changed, eh? But let's put that aside. You must view the rand on the basis of your view of the commodity cycle, not what's happening in South Africa.
It's exactly the same as people saying, well, you know, I'm not going to invest in China because of President Xi increasing his powers and perceived to becoming more dictatorial and pressing certain racial and faith minorities in his country. It's the same thing. So I understand that. Now, Wayne, talking about commodities, I couldn't speak to you last week because my voice failed me. So we haven't spoken since. We had that incredible day on Platinum Group Metals. And I was talking to Shapiro on the day it happened. And I said, David, what is going on here? Has there been an upgrade on this particular sector from someone? And for once, he didn't know. It was a day when Anglo American Platinum topped the leaders board on the JSE Securities Exchange with a 15% rise. I thought of you. You must have got in at the absolute optimal moment.
Yeah, well, look, you don't know. It could still go back and test the lows again.
Yes.
Look, that was just panic buying. But the idea, obviously, is what I concur with. Platinum commodity shares in general aren't bad value, but platinum in particular is good value.
Yes.
So in other words, a good rule of thumb I've always had, Anglo-American platinum drops below 1,000 rand a share, you close your eyes and you buy.
Yes, and I hope you did. And I hope they're staying shut and you're still buying because it's going to double. We know that, don't you, over the next five years? Maximum 5 years.
Easily double.
Yeah. All right.
But now, then you must remember to sell because if that happens, everyone will want to buy. It's like gold shares. Everyone wants to buy a gold share now.
But of course, you will give them the supply and they can buy from you, Wayne. Certainly when it comes to PGMs in a few years' time.
Yeah,
okay,
definitely.
Got a long weekend coming up and we're going to have to talk about the subject of food. I'll get mine out of the way because it's really boring. I told you about it's lambing season in the area in which I live. And every time I cycle today again, and there's this beautiful tiny little things are jumping around. And again, the idea of mint sauce, I had a guilty mint sauce moment again today. And I went to the butcher and I bought some new season lamb, which I'm looking forward to. But the other thing, which is the boring part, is it's asparagus season in Europe, particularly in the Netherlands. You get the white asparagus first over here, which is, it's not peculiar to the Netherlands, but it's quite a thing over here. So you get the big thick white asparagus, which it's okay. It's not my favorite, but now we've got the beautiful green, the more subtle green asparagus, and I'm looking at recipes in books and I've bought a whole bunch of it and I'm going to sit down and make all sorts of asparagus dishes. I sense you're not an asparagus fan.
No, I don't mind. And look, I'm not going to go cook asparagus for my dinner, but I don't actually mind asparagus. It's one of the ones I don't actually mind. It's got asparagus with a nice mayonnaise or something like that. It's actually quite tasty, I must say. But tonight I've got a special treat.
Oh yeah.
The world's greatest went out to lunch with one of her friends at the Wedge on Rivonia Road. She went to the steakhouse there.
Yes.
But upstairs is, I think it's the Golden Dragon, but it's a Chinese restaurant that there never seems to be anyone in, but lots and lots of people with takeaways. And they have got a crispy beef with chili and egg fried rice. And I'm getting that tonight. And it is too delicious for words. The beef is shredded very, very thin. And it's fried, so it's really crispy. And they put in a lot of chili with like a sweet and sour type of sauce on it. And then, of course, egg fried rice I always like. So that is my big treat for this evening.
Has she already procured it, or is she going out to get it for you? What's happening?
No, she's gone to lunch, and she'll get it there, and then when she comes home, she's probably home already.
Yes.
She would have brought it with her.
Oh, so you just got to heat it
but
up a little
bit. But I must say, the steakhouse we go to there serves skinny chops, also delicious, must say.
Mm. Okay. Well, it sounds like you've got your evening sorted out. Have a quick think about Shapiro, if you're still awake at 9 o'clock, because Arsenal is playing
soccer.
Oh, goodness me. Yeah, it's the biggest football match of the season.
It's the big game, yeah.
For Arsenal, yeah. They're playing away to Manchester City.
Number one and number two.
He said, precisely, that if Arsenal don't win, he's going to put his head in the sand and he's not going to speak to anybody for a month. Certainly not about football anyway. You know, it's Shapiro can't
not
stop talking.
Not about football, no. Yeah. Shapiro could never... Shapiro would... The only time Shapiro's not talking to someone...
It's when he's asleep.
The 6 hours or 7 hours a day is when he's sleeping.
Yeah, it's more than 6-7 hours. He goes to bed at half past eight. Yeah. But okay.
No, but he's up at 4 to go running or 3 to go running.
You're exaggerating, Wayne. It's 5, he gets.
Is Arsenal playing again?
They're away to Manchester City. Arsenal are top. Manchester
and,
City
and
are
City
second.
City's got two games in hand, isn't it?
Precisely right.
That's what I heard.
Mm-hmm. You've heard right.
So Arsenal might be knocked off their perch there.
In the next couple of weeks,
weren't they 2-0 ahead in the last two or three games and they ended up with draws?
They blew it, yeah. They've drawn their last three games having been ahead, yeah. They're blowing.
Yes,
they're
blowing something like that.
As I say in England, they're bottling it.
And the reason why I remember it is I saw... You know, when you go into British TV, they love the newspaper review. The British News, Sky News or BB, they love the newspaper. They seem to spend an hour a day on newspaper reviews. They just absolutely love it.
It is quite
But anyway,
fun.
One of the headlines they showed there was obviously ripping off Arsenal, and that's why I remember it, was that it goes, "We forever blowing doubles."
That's very clever. I didn't see that one.
I thought it was quite clever, yeah.
Excellent. Wayne, thank you very much for indulging me with a bit of football, your food stories, and, of course, more importantly, your attitude towards commodities and banks. Wayne McCurry is a portfolio manager at FNB Wealth and Investment in Johannesburg, and that was Wayne on Wednesday. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.